Auburn wraps up their fall camp with their second scrimmage. Let's dive into it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back with another edition of Live with C5 on Sunday night. I'm digging this little sweet spot we got going, and I think it's something we might be able to keep rolling throughout the season. So Auburn finally wraps up fall camp. The position battles and things like that are going to start taking shape very quickly. We're moving away from just the early, you know, fundamental aspect of football practice. And now it's time to start installs. It's time to start game planning. It's time to start really focusing on that week one opponent. And Auburn capped it off with a big scrimmage. It actually, I think a lot of people said they thought it would be Saturday night. It actually ended up being Saturday morning around 10 a.m. And I think this is the type of scrimmage that you – the news that came out of the scrimmage is the kind of news that you want to hear. It was a little bit of back and forth. You heard some big plays on offense. You heard some big plays on defense. And that's exactly what you want to hear when it's a scrimmage between – a scrimmage amongst yourselves. You want to be able to win some battles on both sides. And obviously you're going to hear about some – you know, there's going to be some battles lost on both sides as well. So it started off – I think they had a – they started off outside. And I can attest to this because I was on the golf course at the time when the kind of the bottom fell out for a little bit. And then once the rain came, I think they moved inside. And it sounded like as they were outside, the offense was having a lot of success, able to move the ball up and down the field a little bit, really working the middle of the field, scoring some touchdowns. And we'll talk about some of the big plays here in a minute. And then, again, I'm going to run through my little itinerary, and then I'll open it up to questions at the end. But, yeah, so Peyton Thorne had another great scrimmage. Hank Brown had another great scrimmage. It really seems more and more each day. I know Hugh said, I'm going to really nail down this QB depth chart over this next week or so. It really seems like Hank's going to be that guy at the number two spot. I think he was very efficient, had a very good scrimmage, and then obviously so did Peyton Thorne. I think they both threw some touchdowns. I think we actually were able to run the ball a little bit. And again, we'll talk about who made the big plays as we move on. Then once the rain came, they kind of moved in, and I think the switch flipped and the defense kind of dominated from being able to get penetration, be able to get sacks. I don't know of any big turnovers. I think there was a lot of pass breakups and things of that nature. So it seemed like it was kind of a 50-50. When the scrimmage started off, offense was having a really good day. The rain came, they moved inside, and then I think that the defense ended up having kind of finishing out the scrimmage on top. So that again, you can't have one side dominating the other the whole fall camp, because then you're worried about that side of the ball. If they're both sides are making big plays, then if both sides are making big plays, that's exactly what you want to hear. So who made the big plays? Let's talk about that for a little bit. So it sounds like I think some good news was Keandre Lambert-Smith was able to actually participate in this scrimmage. I think he was in a non-contact jersey, but I think in the 11-on-11, the actual scrimmage part of it, he was a big factor. I think they really worked the middle of the field, and I think he just basically ate them up, made a bunch of big third down conversion catches right at the sticks over the middle. Rivaldo Fairweather also had a big day. It seemed like over the middle was a focus, which makes so much sense, because if you think about it, from the quarterback standpoint, that's the shortest distance to throw a pass. And as Auburn fans, we always, I feel like, are just yearning for, hey, let's throw some slants. Let's throw some stuff over the middle. Let's hit the tight end over the middle. Well, it seemed like that was a big focus. It seemed like that was a big focus for this scrimmage, and they really worked the middle of the field and made some big plays. Jarquez Hunter, I think that from what I hear about the touchdown run that he had, that it was just a beastly carrying dudes on his back, breaking tackles, which is finally good to see because, again, I harped on it that my concern a little bit was with the run, with being able to get push from the offensive line, being able to really move those guys and get gains in the running game. And it seemed like that Jarquez had a big day as well. So that was really good. I think Samuel Jackson is going to be one to watch. Sam Jackson is going to be the transfer from Cal. I think he's going to be a one to watch. So I think as he's gotten healthier and healthier, he's become a lot more explosive, a lot more of a deep threat. You saw a lot of Bryce Kane in the last scrimmage. I think he and Sam Jackson are kind of that 1-2 at that small slot position. And it sounded like Sam Jackson had a big day. I think he actually scored a touchdown early on in the scrimmage on kind of a deep route that he beat several guys and made the play and scored. And then I think also Cam Brown. I think this was maybe it sounded like it was possibly a pass from not Cam Coleman. Camden Brown also is making plays, had a big touchdown, possibly from Hank. And that's good to hear. You know that guy's motivated. You know that he is wanting to be able to get in the rotation, get after it, make some stuff happen because it seems like all the hype is kind of around a lot of these young guys coming in and making plays. So for him to be able to go out there, have a good scrimmage, score a touchdown, I think that's good for his confidence. It's good for that room, man. It's good for that room to be able to just be a room full of dudes that can make plays. So Cam Brown's kind of he's always had the physical tools. You just wonder if he could actually put it all together on the field. So offense, it seemed like there was a bunch of big plays, and those were a few of the guys that specifically I was told that, you know, had big days, had big scrimmages. So let's switch to defense, okay? I told you that the defense kind of got whipped a little bit in the first part of the scrimmage, and then they kind of turned it around and had a big end once they moved indoors, really started popping pads and making stuff happen. I'm telling y'all, this pass rush is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm hearing that, between Jalen McLeod and Kieron Crawford, they're really, really putting a lot of pressure on those tackles, on those offensive tackles that are a little bit bigger. You got Percy Lewis, he's a little bit of a bigger offensive tackle. So the speed rush may be just a little bit. He's not quite, maybe not quite all the way there yet. I think Kieron Crawford, two big sacks. That's in a short amount of time for a scrimmage, Kieron Crawford with two sacks. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's your number two rusher between him and Jalen McLeod. I think you're going to have two big time pass rushers. I know I'm harping on them a lot, but that was a big deal. Jason Jones. I think Isaiah Rakes may have either sat this one out as a precautionary deal. I don't think it's anything serious. I don't think he's hurt. You just want to keep some guys healthy. They even had, Cam Coleman was sort of not limited, but in a non-contact type jersey so that not because he's hurt, but because, hey, let's don't take him to the ground. We kind of need that guy. That guy's kind of a big deal. Don't need to hurt that guy. I think that may be a similar deal to what was going on with Isaiah Rakes, him sitting out. But with him out, Jason Jones had, from all description, maybe his best practice of the fall with several tackles for loss. I think he caused a big fumble, a big forced fumble in the backfield as well. Just how good does that make you feel to know that Isaiah Rakes is out, and then you could still slide in Jason Jones and be disruptive and make some plays. I think that's good. One of the people that jumped out as far as having, and we've seen him, he had the only turnover in the last scrimmage is Caleb Harris. It sounds like Caleb Harris has come ready to play. And with a defensive backfield that is not deep from experience, not very deep in experience, is very deep in talent. And Caleb Harris seems like he's going to he could possibly be a factor on that depth chart. He could be a guy that can make some stuff happen He could be a guy that could get a bunch of snaps and play early. The quote I was told is he's a name that you're going to hear a lot of. He's a name that you're going to hear a lot of. Had several pass breakups. Just an overall really good scrimmage. Robert Woodyard also had a big scrimmage, a lot of physical plays, especially when they moved inside, a lot of physical plays, especially in the run game, coming up and stopping the run. And that's your fourth, that's three and a half to, that's your third and a half or your fourth linebacker in the rotation, depending on how you look at it and depending on the formation. I really hope the light's finally coming on with him. And then DeMarcus Riddick also got a lot of run, and it seemed like they were kind of putting him a little bit all over the place, whether it was that linebacker coming off the edge. He was just sort of a force. He was sort of a freak, kind of all over the field, making plays. So both sides of the ball had some pros, had some cons, and then both sides had some guys step up and make some big plays. Overall, it seemed like the theme was this whole week leading up to this scrimmage is that the offense and Peyton Thorne, they feel really, really good, really, really confident about where they are headed into this end of fall camp and start into this new basically the season. Now, the season for them has basically started. You're going to start doing your offensive installs. You're going to start game planning for game one, and it seems like they're on the right track. And Peyton is sort of taking charge of this offense and able to make it happen. He feels comfortable with what's going on, and he's been able to make big plays. There's been a little bit of talk, and some of it you've heard from me. I think sometimes somebody in the last live asked, hey, what's your biggest concern? What's your biggest concern? And I grant I'm not a talent scout. I'm not a high school football coach. I don't have a college football coaching resume. A lot of it is just eye test with me and what I see. And then I just relay what I feel like I see. And I felt like if there was a weakness at times, it seems like it's been the offensive line. And from my untrained eye, it seemed like that was sort of along the interior, especially in the running game. But it seems like the outside, the tackles, is where there's a little bit of concern. And I don't know so much if it's a concern as it is like they're not good or they're not progressing, as it is they just haven't quite found that right lineup maybe yet. That starting five. Hugh made a comment Friday. We got to figure out the best place for Dylan Wade. Okay, does that mean that Dylan Wade's not playing good? Does that mean that Dylan Wade at guard, he's such a good tackle, and then bringing him at guard puts a really big hole on the defensive line? I mean, on the offensive line, not really sure. But it does seem like it's from a tackle perspective, that speed rush, I talked about it earlier, the speed rush that we're getting is causing some frustrations, causing some issues. And it's at times it's been able to clog down the offense. I think that they really worked on trying to scheme away from that. And you can scheme away from a pass rush a little bit. You can slow it down with different things. And I think that was sort of the theme of that first part of the scrimmage, you know, the one that was outside where they're able to move the ball, sort of negate that pass rush, stay out of third and longs. And that's what it sounded like they were consistently able to do, always having a good down and distance after first down. So is there concern there? Concern from a, have they found the right lineup yet? I think that is sort of the concern at the moment. Have they found the right mix of those five guys? I think you got a couple positions that are locked in. Jeremiah Wright's having a big fall. Continually people bragging on Jeremiah Wright. Connor Liu seems like he's locked in at center. And I think Dylan Wade, it's more so of, is he better at guard or is he better at tackle? What does the lineup look like? How much better can Auburn's offensive line be if he's able to slide out at tackle or stay at guard or right tackle or whatever? And then what's the mix after that? I think Tyler Johnston is also really, really having a good fall camp. If you remember him, he was the four-star offensive lineman that was committed to Texas Tech when Hugh took over. He flipped him from Texas Tech in a matter of about 5 minutes, which was impressive. And I think he's physically transformed his body into a SEC level bodied offensive tackle. And I think he's making it hard on the guys to be able to, you know, maintain their position. I mean, he's coming, he's ready to take over. He's ready to jump them on the depth chart. And I think that's just, I don't necessarily think it's a, we don't have anybody as it is. We're just trying to figure out the right mix. And I think that's the biggest deal, trying to figure out that right mix. You've been through a whole fall camp. You've had two scrimmages now. Now you'll be able to sort of go back to the film and then fine tune it over this next week and then get ready to roll into the first year. I wouldn't be shocked if nothing changes. I think Percy is sort of still adjusting to the starting role. He didn't start a ton last year at Mississippi State. I think he's still sort of getting his body in shape, getting his feet in shape, getting moving a little bit faster, practicing against some really good pass rushers. And honestly, more than likely, this is probably the offensive line that you've been seeing is probably what you end up starting the year off. But Tyler Johnson is not making it easy on them. And we'll just have to see what happens. Regardless, it feels like you got bodies. It feels like you got depth and you can make something happen. I want to look through my notes, see if I missed anything. I think that was pretty much everything. Yeah, rain came. They moved inside. Riddick had a really good scrimmage off the edge. Your guy, we talked about it, Kieron Crawford, had two sacks. I think that's pretty much it for the notes. As a fall camp, you didn't have any major injuries. I think that's huge to go through a whole camp and not have any major injuries, because it seems like people were dropping like flies left and right. It seemed like people were dropping like flies left and right all over the SEC. Texas lost their number one and number two running backs. Whoever managed those non-contact jerseys and the contact periods and who can go out there and who needs to take a day off, whoever managed that, I feel like managed it dang near flawlessly. I mean, you can't go through fall camp and not get dinged up a little bit, but whatever happened, they were able to diagnose it, slap a non-contact jersey on you, sit you out for a practice, put you back in, and get that right mix of – that's such a fine line, too, of that right mix of being able to pop face masks, pop shoulder pads, but still remain healthy. And I think Auburn did that really, really well, really, really well this fall. Again, you're going into the fall and basically everybody you've been talking about, everybody you've been excited about should be ready to go game one. There's no big time injuries, definitely no season ending injuries. And Auburn has just done a really good job of keeping everybody healthy this fall. So my overall takeaway is I feel like there was times where the defense was way ahead of the offense, which is typical. There was times where the offense had some really good practices. And I think it was that perfect little mixture of offense winning battles and defense winning battles. I think you got a chance to be good, really good on both sides of the ball this year. You got some big play. You got some big play potential out of Cam Coleman. And you got some senior leadership at the wide receiver, Robert Lewis, Keandre Lambert-Smith. I've heard people call Robert Lewis security blanket, security something. It was a security something. Basically, whenever Peyton needs a big play on third down, Robert Lewis is sort of seeming like that go-to guy. So you got some seniors, you got some mixture of young guys that are elite talent, elite speed. Malcolm Simmons is going to be a star. He was featured a little bit as well on you know, getting the ball out of the backfield, throwing the ball down the field as well in the scrimmage. So overall, I think the fall camp ended up pretty, pretty well. And you had that perfect mixture of both sides having some success. So let's get into the chat. Let's get into the chat and answer some questions and have a little fun. Let's start at the top. This is a comment, not really a chat, but Donald Somerville, there's going to be some freezing weather in the SEC this year. I dig it. Hey, I will take all the freeze – puns, all the freeze innuendos that you can throw at me. Give me all the freeze. I love freeze puns. Okay. Let's just keep them coming all day long. Eric Pearson said he was anxious to hear about last night's scrimmage. I hope you got what you're looking for. I think at the barn, auburn.com, we had essentially almost real-time updates, not real-time, but like shortly after the scrimmage was done. We've been digging, really trying to lock in on some good sourcing that we can get good information from, but not just throw everything out there and spoil any of the game plan, things like that. So I think we had a really good job. I think we did a really good job. And I think for a long time, we were the only site that had anything, any report whatsoever on the scrimmages. And I think we had it within just a couple of maybe an hour or so after the scrimmage. For those that are already signed up at the barn, auburn.com, hey, a lot of this old news. You've been knowing about this for the last 24 plus hours. So what are you waiting on? You get in, you can have practice reports. You can have scrimmage reports literally within hours, a couple of hours of those things being completed. We try to stay on top of it, keep you in the loop. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast, but you know what? The podcast is this live is kind of a recap of what the members at the barn already know. So Eric, hope you got what you are looking for. Stuart Donald, Ryan Gage or Gee just popped into the chat at Auburn Live a half hour or so and posted expect good news on Deuce soon. I hope he's right. Hey, I do too. I've been bullish on the timetable. I don't think that there was ever an August 8th. I don't think there was ever an August 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. There was never one of these flip dates. It was always going to be towards the end of August. And look, now, hey, we're over halfway through August and you got recruits popping in other shows saying, hey, good news could be coming on due soon. Wouldn't shock me at all. And that could start a chain reaction for at least three or four other guys that could end up having a big August and really big kickoff into leading up to the season starting. So that doesn't shock me at all. I've been seeing, I didn't see that obviously because I was on live here, but doesn't shock me at all. Doesn't shock me one single bit. Johnny C, what do you think about Kentucky saying they don't have to be that good to beat Auburn? Well, I would just ask Kentucky, how often is it that you're good enough to beat Auburn? That's my question. It's I think the last one I can remember is 2009, and it was a transition year. And I think even some of Auburn's worst teams have not really had a lot of issues with Kentucky. So I don't really know where that comes from. But good for them. Good for them. We're going to go up to Kentucky and play in front of dozens of their fans. I doubt it'll be a sellout because football is just not a big deal to Kentucky, but I don't know where that comes from. I don't know where a lot of times these programs, I don't understand where this confidence comes from that all of a sudden we're just going to act like we're just so leaps and bounds ahead of a program like Auburn as Kentucky is. I guess where does that come from? I don't know. It's fandom. Fandom short for fanatic. So I get it. Have some fun with it, but they better be good. They better be good. If you want to think you don't have to be that good, you better be good, or you're going to tote a little butt whipping on your own field towards the middle of the season. So I would say you better be good. You better not just be average because I think this team's going to be pretty explosive. I really do. I think it's going to be explosive, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch. Explosive on both sides of the ball. You better make sure that your quarterback's healthy because – Kieron Crawford and Jalen McLeod are going to be up in his grill all night long. So just be prepared for that. So we'll see. The whole doesn't have to be good. I don't really know where that comes from. I don't really know where that stems from. Going on, next question. Let's see here. Eric Pearson, I'm totally comfortable saying Kentucky will never win a football championship. I think you're pretty safe with that bet. I would bet that one as well. Let's see. Let's keep moving on. Richard Reeves, if the O-line plays well, Auburn will be dangerous this year. Richard, I could not agree more. I could not agree more. Once they find that right mix of those front five, once they find that mix, it could be the one that's already together. It could be the front five that's already sort of been out there that we've been talking about all fall camp. But if there's some other combination, as long as they find that right mix and Auburn's able to protect and able to get a little bit of push, there's enough skill on the outside. There's enough skill in this wide receiver room, this tight end room, the back side of the back. There's enough skill. There's enough skill at the skill positions that Auburn could really, really be dangerous and make, you know, make some waves. Moving on, Riddick will be a great one for us in time. Glad he came out injury-free so far. TK, it may not be in time. It may be right now. There may be some stuff that he can do right now and help us, especially on like third and longs. His speed is incredible. His speed is just as quick as some of our safeties. And to be able to that, you know, we talked about it, about the scrimmage, being able to put in pass rush situations and come off the edge. I think Riddick could be a good one. Not in time. I think he could be a good one right now, but we'll see how they use him. Going to Brandon. So who's going to be number two, Holden or Hank? Brandon, based off everything I've heard, based off everything I've seen, it really seems like Hank's kind of got the job locked up. I think Hugh mentioned, I said it earlier, that he would release the quarterback depth chart, like an actual depth chart, over this week. I think he's going to be working on that this week. And I would expect – I'd be kind of shocked at this point in time if Hank is not number two. He seems like he's always coming in right after Thorne in drills, coming in right after the series – whenever they have a series and Thorne comes out, it seems like Hank's the one that comes in. And he's just been consistent. Again, I think there was one been a couple of practices where his completion percentage is just ridiculous. So I think Hank is definitely – number two. I'd be really shocked if Hank is not number two. Last one, Stuart Donald. I live about an hour from Deuce's school. I plan to go watch him play a few times this year. Stuart, get some video, send us some stuff. Let us know what you think. That'd be fun. I'd love to go see Deuce play as well. I bet he's fun to watch in high school. TK, do you have any concerns with Keontae Scott outside instead of nickel? I really like that. It may take. It's probably a much longer answer than just a quick answer. But Keontae Scott's been a little bit banged up this fall camp. Okay, he's had some hamstring issues. He's had some, just been dinged up. I think he sat out the whole last scrimmage. He just, if we're just calling it, he did not have a great bowl game at outside. He did not have a great bowl game, but I don't think that is indicative of who he is and who he can be as an outside corner. So I don't see now that should be a big time concern, because he's a big time player. I mean, he can make plays. We know he can cover. We know he can return punts. We know he can make things happen. And I'm not necessarily concerned now. Now, do I think his better position is at nickel? Yes. I think his future in the NFL is at nickel. I think the closer you can put Keontae Scott to the ball, the bigger chance that he has to make a big play. And I don't know if that's something that eventually he's going to end up moving inside. I think he's pretty adamant about being an outside corner. I've heard nothing really to make me think that there's a giant concern at him at this moment. But I totally get where after seeing that bowl game and then he's not getting a lot of headlines because he's been dinged up a little bit in fall camp, I can totally see where you could see that. We got a super chat, and unfortunately, I got to read it. Romulus, Kirby Smart is your daddy. I can't argue with that at this point in time. I cannot argue with Kirby Smart being our daddy for right now, but I think we're coming. I think we're coming. I think it's going to be something. Romulus, I know you was a little bit nervous last year. I know that last drive, I know you're sweating. I know you're biting your fingernails, but I can't say he's not. I can't say he's not at the moment. It still feels like Auburn's got a little bit of a bigger hill to climb to be able to say, hey, Kirby, now we're your daddy. Okay. So it's a little bit to go, but I think it could come sooner or later. D Cone, predict where AU will finish in recruiting. Okay. This one's tough. This one's fun because there's a pathway. There is a pathway to be a number one or number two class. There really is. There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of momentum around a couple of guys that may be sitting and waiting to see what happens with Deuce Knight. So there's a pathway that if all the cards fall into place, Auburn could finish with three or four five-star players and be right in the talk of that number one and or number two class in the country. Now, where do I think they'll land? I think three or four. I think that's probably a smart spot to put them in. Again, a lot of it depends on I still feel like Auburn's in a really good spot to land Deuce Knight. So, but again, a lot of it depends on Deuce Knight doing what we feel like he's going to do, go ahead and pull the trigger, and then Auburn having a good year. If Auburn has a really good year, then I think that that helps even more. I think Auburn having a good, successful year on the field will drive up the excitement and maybe pave the way for that number one or number two class. But I'm looking right now in the 3 to 4 range. Let's keep going. Hillbilly. Where did the tackle out of Kansas go? He's talking about Andrew Babalola, who many thought would have picked a college on August 12th. I think that was sort of the date that Steve Wiltfong put out there, that was when he would pull the trigger. He did not pull the trigger on August 12th. He is still uncommitted, and I don't know that there is a hard date out there right now for him to commit. And I will tell you this, if he would have committed on August the 12th, I think it would have been Michigan. If he would have committed on August 12th, I think it would have been Michigan. It seems like someone at Auburn helped or talked to him into, waiting and see. Let's wait and see. Don't pull the trigger yet because he's not going to be this guy that you flip down the road. When he commits and he locks in, that's going to be it. But he's still up for grabs. He's still up for grabs. And I think Auburn is very, very much in the conversation with Andrew Babalola. That's your tackle out of Kansas, Hillbilly. Blake Patterson, is Austin Keys still banged up or is he good to go? I think he was a full participant in the scrimmage today. I don't think he had a non-contact jersey on. Again, I wasn't super concerned when I saw him go down in the scrimmage. He did kind of hobble around, and I think maybe some people saw him in a boot afterwards, but I think he's going to be ready to go. I think he's going to be fine. I don't think it's anything serious. I think he's just going to be, just be a little bit ginger. Don't push it too hard, but I think Austin's going to be fine, which is big because – when you have Austin and you have Asante out there healthy, number one, single-digit linebacker numbers, sick. Love it. I love single-digit. You got six and nine out there making plays, both fast, wreaking havoc. I dig that. I think they're both primed to have really good years. And, again, they do seem pretty healthy. As far as the chat goes, looks like that's it for tonight. I really appreciate it, guys. Again, a lot of this information you could have already had if you're a member of the barnauburn.com. It's $1 a month for the first month. Why not try it for a month and just see how you like it? Get in there, check out our recruiting scoop, check out the practice scoop, check out the scrimmage scoop. I'm telling you, there was nobody, absolutely nobody out there that covers the scrimmages like we do. The last two scrimmages have been dead on, have been quick, have been dang near play-by-play. A lot of times with stats, stuff like that. I just don't think you can beat what you're getting at the anywhere else. So definitely check out thebarnauburn.com. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back in the morning. We're going to have a show in the morning talking probably a little bit more about this offensive line and just really digging in, getting ready for the season to kick off. So you got 2 weeks now to really prepare and get ready for your first game of the season. So I really appreciate you guys listening, and we will catch you all tomorrow. We'll be back again tomorrow. So y'all have a great rest of the evening. It's another episode of the Top Bud Podcast live with C5. Stay bud.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.